Thank you, Renee. Take your Bibles this morning and go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, our desire this morning is to remember. I believe in our day, I was not around when Pearl Harbor and the attacks that happened upon our country that were unwarranted. And just as in my day or in your day, I can remember exactly where I was. I was out just a little north of the state I was born and raised in Maryland. I was in a brand new lot in a field in Dover, Delaware, in a development that I'd worked in often. And I began to receive calls from home and people and that there was something going on in the world. And back then, cell phones were not what they were today. And we stopped what we were doing and we drove into town to find a place that had a television that we might be able to see the attacks that were happening on our country. And I can remember how my heart began to break and I began to think of teenagers. I had been a youth pastor and I began to think of teenagers that were stationed at the Pentagon and at other places. And I knew people that were in those places or I knew people that were connected to them. And the first place that I turned to was God. I was so far away and could not, even though for me, in a lot of those places, I was only a couple hours away, folks, and all that tragedy was happening where I was in the nation. But if we scanned the audience this morning, every one of us could tell where we were and how we felt at the time that things were going on. And I can only imagine for those that were there at Ground Zero, for those that were on the planes that day, for those that were going, again, 3,000 people almost lost that day. As we go forward, one of the things that happens that we must remember, we can never forget. We've come to a place in our day and age, and we will not focus on the politics of our day that have embarrassed our nation and had ended the conflict that was not started by us. Amen. I'll say that again, that ended the conflict, again, ending a war. I don't know if you can go back far enough in your mind's eye, but when we found out who was responsible for the attacks of 9/11, it was not a single man, but a group. And that group called itself a sub-cult of the Muslim religion, and it was Al-Qaeda. It had a leader like any other leader, but when you end a leader, it doesn't end the cult. It doesn't end the religion that sought to destroy, and they called it a holy war. And although we have withdrawn our troops, and although that we may at some point let down our guard, make no mistake, just because we are not at war with terrorism anymore, they're still at war with us. Because theirs is not a war or peace, it is a religion. It is a false religion that lifts up and hates our God. It hates Judeo-Christian ethics and freedom. It believes that everyone should come into chains underneath the rule of the Quran. I'm not here to preach against a group of people, but if we are to remember, we need to realize who attacked us on that day. And it was not just Al-Qaeda. And anyone that will even in ignorance tell you that the Muslim religion is peaceful does not know what they're talking about. They will not relent until all the nations of the world bow their knee or lose their head. In our day, it would seem that our government and those around us are playing into the hands of those that would destroy us. The only way forward is to remember and never forget the tragic day and to always stay on guard. I can say this before we read the scripture and dive in. I just want to tell you every time that I take a trip and I get on an airplane, I don't know about you and whether you just get frustrated, but every time I pull off my shoes and I take off my belt and I walk through a scanner, I remember what it used to be like. And I realize that these people are not there just trying to give me a hard time, but there are people that day that this group of people attacked us with our own planes. And that when I go through that little bit, that 30 minutes or 20 minutes or however long it takes to go through that little bit of abruptness in my life, how many lives it would have saved if we were doing that before that day. How many lives that were lost? 3,000 lives that day, and we could go through the list, but I don't know how many of you in the last few days have heard, but again, not only were there on the four planes were there hundreds of people, but there were 343 firefighters that lost their lives that day. 27 police officers, 23, and then 37 Port Authority police officers that again were in and helping people out of the building. So as we remember today, we not only remember the 2,996 lives that were lost that day, but the families that it affected. And the 25,000 people who will never be the same because they were injured on that day at Ground Zero. For my children, as we open the scripture and we read Psalm 78, we're making an application. The Bible is as current as the day it was written with what is going on in the world. And here in chapter 78 of the book of Psalms, we find some interesting words, and most of them are about not forgetting and looking to our hope. But as we go forward, the only way for us to not repeat another 9/11 is for us to never forget what happened that day. Before we read the scripture this morning, let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless our message and our time together this morning. Dear God, I thank you for an opportunity to stand before patriots and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. This morning, as we focus in on a day for our nation and for our people that will forever live in infamy, Lord, I pray that you help us to never forget to stand as patriots against all that would water down the history of this day, to stand against as patriots those that would tell us that there is no danger against those that are Muslims. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to stand and read the scripture and to be patriots, but to also to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ everywhere that we have opportunity for your honor and glory. Help us today, Lord. I pray that you'd get me out of the way and that Holy Spirit of God, you would do your work through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 78, if you'll look at it with me, we'll read the first seven verses. And again, I realize that the primary application of this scripture this morning is not to us, but it is to the Jew. It is a song written to be sung in remembrance and to not forget. Look at it with me in the very first verse. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and know, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law for in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare, look at them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. As we remember this day and we think of the scripture that was just read, we must realize, and it has been repeated over and over again in the last few days and throughout the years, it was never forget. If there's anything that is connected to this day, it is to never forget what happened on 9/11. For us, as we look back, we must realize that the day and age we live in, oftentimes we feel like we have been pushed out or put aside or that some great evil. Throughout history, people have endured much more than this that we speak of. Throughout history, nations and people have been attacked. And again, some of those things are repeated because the nations water down their history and wipe away the things that should have kept us on guard. Here in the scripture, it tells us not just to never forget what happened that day, but to have a retelling of what happened, not only to our children, but to our children's children, and to beyond, to the children that are yet to be born. If God should tarry his coming, I know that here at Landmark, we believe that Jesus' soon return is imminent. But should another generation of children that are yet to be born, should they grow old enough to hear the words and to hear the history of 9/11, God forbid that we should ever live in a nation or in a group of people that would water down the story. That fundamental, or if I could say it like this, Muslim extremist attack the nation of the U.S. of A., the United States of America. God forbid that we ever water it down and forget what happened on that day. We must never forget. We must never turn back. We must never let down our guard. We must realize, as Judeo-Christians, those that believe from the Jew came the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was born and died and is the Redeemer of all men. For those of us who believe that, we must stand against the onslaught of those that would kill our people because of our founding as a nation in the Christian faith. And we must always remind others that just around the corner is the next attack if we're not careful. You say, Brother Parsons, how would you explain that? I would say, number one, never forget why they attacked. If you're taking notes this morning, don't ever forget. Never forget why they attacked. They attacked us because of who we are. Amen. Number two, if I could say it under that little A and B, if you want to take notes, they attacked us because of who they are. They attacked us because of what they thought they were going to receive. The 19 terrorists that got on those planes, that would have been 20 if it hadn't have been for one of them turning back. The 19 men that got on there believed that when they gave their lives for their God, that they were completing a righteous act in killing Americans. They believed they were completing a righteous act for killing Christians. They thought that the act that they were sacrificing was not only going to bless them, but their family, and that they would enter into their, what they consider heaven, and they would enter in with their 70 virgins. But they busted hell wide open that day. And they found out that Muhammad did not have the power to save. That no plane used as a weapon of warfare could get them to heaven. They couldn't fly there. They couldn't earn their way there. They realized that the truth that America has always stood for was true, and they found out a hard lesson. And today, even now, they burn in a devil's hell because someone taught them a false religion. We need to remember never to forget why they attacked. Number two, we can never forget how they attacked. I've mentioned already, as we go in and we often try to take a plane flight from here to there, it seems uncomfortable from the times before. How we just ushered from one place to the other and we got on the plane and everything was happy-go-lucky, but now you got to have everything, every piece of paper in triplicate. You got to go through scanners. You got to stand in lines and you got to do all these different things. Walk by dogs that are sniffing out for bombs. But listen, folks, we need to remember how they attacked. If we're not careful, we'll let down our guard and they'll do it again, and they'll use our planes to do it with. And I'll just go on and say, I don't want to mention this much, but listen, they don't have to go down and get on the passenger planes anymore. Now they can take the ones we left over there, over across the way. My greatest fear is with this withdrawal that has happened over the last, listen, I'm just going to tell you, if we're not willing to go to a place and fight until we win, we ought to get out anyway. Amen. We've been there a long time not trying to win. So it's not about the withdrawal, it's about how we did it. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but one of the reasons that we will never forget is because how they attacked. They attacked buildings with people who were not soldiers, but innocent victims of a holy war that was started long before any of them were born. And they used not missiles or torpedoes or battleships, but passenger planes with innocent victims on them as well. If you can grasp what I'm going to tell you right now, I just want you to understand, there is no conscience in a person that will fly a plane full of people into a building full of people because it's going to get them heaven. There's no righteousness inside of a person that will attack a building full of people with a plane full of people. There's no righteousness in that. And I don't even know how you can work up religion in that. That's hatred. That's satanic. That's wicked. We can never forget why they attacked. We can never forget how they attacked. We must never forget what they attacked. Folks, I've mentioned it, and it may seem redundant, but these were innocent civilians not prepared to defend themselves. When the planes hit the building, people didn't take up arms and look to fire back. They looked to just simply get out of the buildings that were on fire. They looked just to get home or to make one more phone call to someone to tell them that they loved them. The reason we must never forget, oftentimes we don't remember these great battles where our men of heroes go on the battlefield and fight and sometimes die. We don't often hold these things in our remembrance the way we ought to. But when the battlefield becomes the everyday workplace of an American, when the battlefield becomes a passenger plane, when the everyday attack happens on the Pentagon, where they thought they could strike and not only, and again, aimed at probably our White House with the fourth plane, and it was thwarted. But again, as we think about what they, why they did it, how they did it, we must never forget what they attacked. They attacked us where they thought it would hurt us the most. We should always remember exactly as Americans, you know why they didn't attack? They could have flown the planes into the largest church in America. But that's not what they did. They attacked America where they believed her God was, in her trade center, in the center of what would seem to be money. And as we remember and we never forget, one of the greatest lessons that we should have learned from that day on all the people that we lost is the world believes that America is married to her money, that America loves not God and the Christian faith, but loves the almighty dollar. We must never forget, and we must teach the generations to come not only that they attack us and why they attacked us and how they attacked us, but what they attacked. The first target was not a military installation called the Pentagon. The first and foremost attack was on the money and the place that would tear down America the most. They took on the two at the time, not the largest buildings necessarily in the world, but at one time they were, two standing towers, two pridefully standing towers that stood above the skyline. Easy to be attacked with a plane, but we didn't raise those buildings up and stamp them with America as a nation. You know what we called them? The World Trade Center towers. We must realize is that the more and more, why do you think in this nation, in this day and age where we're at, why do we think that they keep pulling the towers down? Because as a patriot, when I see that, that makes my blood boil. Do you remember, I don't know if you can go back far enough, where they took all the images down and they stopped playing it because they thought we were getting too upset? Because they thought we were really going to get upset and do something about it? Hey, folks, I just want you to understand, 20 years later, we ought to be just as upset as we were those days. We ought to be just as on guard. We ought to realize what they attacked. They didn't just attack some place. They attacked the family. They attacked Americans. They attacked us and where what we stood for as a nation. But again, to them, they wanted to put a hole in us where it hurt. They wanted to hurt us in our money, in our pocketbooks. We must never forget that God is our God. We must never forget that He is the source of our strength, not the almighty dollar. We must never forget to look up. Do you remember what happened on that day? People didn't turn to the almighty dollar. They didn't turn down the street and look for someone else for a helping hand, but they turned up their eyes to an almighty God and called out for help. They called out for his grace and power and his strength and sufficiency. They called out upon him in fear and reverence, realizing that only he could stop this. It's one thing to know an enemy and to see them every day, but when it's your own planes flying into the buildings, the only place you can turn to for peace is God. Number four, never forget who we hoped in that day. You see, in that day, we didn't hope in ourselves or into our military might. We didn't even realize by the end of the day until someone stood up and took credit for it, who even took a swing at us. We didn't know where to attack. We didn't know who to take revenge on. We didn't realize even what had happened. We just were shaken to the core that this awful tragedy could happen upon American soil. We knew simply one thing by the end of the day, that this was no accident. That this was perpetrated on us and planned by someone. Folks, can I just tell you, a long time ago, God brought man into the world. He brought us into this perfect place and this perfect garden, and He had a perfect plan for man to bring praise to Him and to bring Him honor and glory. But there was an enemy that snuck in the garden as a serpent and undermined the things that God had said. Tried to get them to want to be just like Him, above the Most High God. Said, hey, if you just eat of this, you know that you could think just like God. You'd have the knowledge of good and evil just like God would have. Folks, can I just tell you that there's always going to be an enemy. There has always been an enemy. And whether it is trying to get us to eat the wrong thing or get people to fly planes into buildings, He is always at work and always after the Lord Jesus Christ, His people, His provision, His purpose, everything that's going on. And in our day, as we see these vaccinations, we see a president getting up and telling us he's going to make us do things, we can only realize that this book is true. We can only realize that there's only one place that we can hope in, and that hope is in God. In our day, in our age, as we look forward, if we're not careful, we'll forget the past. We'll forget our purpose. As Americans, do you realize that people left faraway shores to come to a place so that they could worship freely? They came to a place so that they could just simply not make money or be rich, but raise their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in truth, in the Word of God, freely do that. And they built a nation that's the greatest nation on earth. They built a nation with a great military, with great, good pride in the red, the white, and the blue. And if we're not careful, we'll forget where we came from. We'll forget our purpose was always to worship freely. Our purpose was to worship freely and to pass on to every generation of people, to our children's children and the children yet unborn, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you have come to this place in honor of those that have served, those that have served as a first responder, if you've come to this place in honor of those that lost their lives that day, the greatest honor you could do them this morning would be receive Jesus Christ as your Savior if you're not a Christian. There are so many testimonies, and one that I remember of that day, a young man, 24, his name was Wells. He worked on the 110th floor of the world, the South Tower. Was on his way down. He's remembered by many that he helped try to get out of the towers as the man with the red bandana. He took a bandana out of his pocket or found it along the way and covered his mouth and nose because of the smoke and the dust. Knowing the building and being taller than most, he could see over the crowd, and he directed the crowd the direction with a loud, strong, bold voice in the way that they should turn and the way that they should move through the building. Many people remembered, if it wasn't for the man with the red bandana, I wouldn't have made it out of the building. All along carrying a woman that was injured on his shoulder until he made it to the street and he called his mother and said, "Mom, I'm okay. I'm out of the building." Weeks later, he was found in a stairwell about 10 stories back up, heading back up with the firemen trying to go in and get more people. Folks, I think about that man and how righteous and how good that man was to care about the life, this short life, of people that were in that building. But the burning building of this world is what Jesus entered for you and I. He came from heaven, and the untold atrocities and pain that must have been felt that day by people because of the burning and the smoke and the mangled metal. Listen, I'm telling you, Jesus came and took a crown of thorns driven into his head. He endured a whipping that no man has ever taken before, with a cat of nine tails over and over again. He was spit upon and beaten in his face, and then carried his cross as far as he could before someone else was asked to carry it, up to Calvary and then crucified, one of the most brutal deaths a man can face. He was suffocated to death upon the cross of Calvary, so that he could pay for your sins and for my sins. I'll just say it. Today, in our day and age, we need to remember 9/11. But as Christians and as patriots, we need to realize the founding of our nation. And it wasn't so that we could feed the world, although that's good. And it wasn't so that we can dominate the world with our money system. And it wasn't so that we can protect the world. It is so that we could propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in our homes, but around the world. And this morning, I will give an invitation for those of you that have heard about this Jesus, but never accepted him as your own. And I pray this morning that you will be wiser than those that maybe have come before, or maybe wiser than the last time you heard the gospel and did not accept it. This morning, if I could just make to ask you, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. The people that were on those planes thought they were going to land wherever they took off from and head there. They had no idea. That had never happened before. There is no telling what will happen when we step out of those doors. And what I believe, there's no telling when Jesus is coming back. Everything has been done that needs to be done for him to return for his children. And so you're not guaranteed tomorrow, not because you may die, but because Jesus may return for his own before then. And so today I make a plea. If you're here and you're not saved, please come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here and you're a patriot and a Christian, I beg you to pray for your nation. We must never forget what happened on this day, but we must never forget why we're founded. We must never forget our foundation was in Christianity, that it was upon the book, and that we must live out our lives trying to let other people know about the hope that lies within us. Folks, today, never forget where your hope is. Never forget who our hope as our nation. The song was sung, and God, we still trust. I hope that's true for you this morning, that you're not trusting in your own works, that you're not trusting in your own baptism. You're not trusting in Sunday school teacher, I got baptized, but you're trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and in his resurrection from the dead to save you this morning. If you're not, I beg you to come and receive him this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, in a crowd this size, maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I've never received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Is there one anywhere? Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I've never received Jesus as my Savior. I've not seen any hands this morning, but the music is playing. Let's stand to our feet. If you're a patriot this morning, maybe you need to come and pray. If you're someone who needs to receive Christ, would you come and meet me in the front as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and wait.
With me this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you pray for our nation this morning with me? You can do that where you are, or you can come down in the front and pray for our nation. With all that's going on and the great trial of our faith that is going on in the world today, we must pray for our nation. But let me make an appeal to you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, while nobody's looking but me and the Lord, would you step out and come? We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. We'd love to do that as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
I appreciate you coming and being with us this morning. I know that as believers, many of us will say amen to that, but as we go out and into this world and each day, they're trying our faith, our patience, and our freedom. And we must pray. I beg you this morning, if there's anything that we take home, we must never forget what's not only gone on in our country, but what's happening today, and pray for our nation. If our hope is truly in God, our prayer should not just be for salvation, but for be the day-to-day. There are people that work for our government, good people. And if you don't know, again, no matter where you stand on the vaccination, I want you to understand that not giving people a choice is really what it is driving out the righteous people from the work in a lot of our government offices and a lot of these good places. They're having to make a choice of not working there, not having the influence as they once had. So I pray that you'll pray for them, that you'll pray that God would just intervene in this time. But I'm looking up. Amen. I'm looking for a Redeemer to come and to snatch us out. Amen. Before we go to the Lord in prayer and we give you just a little, I think someone has a card for us here. Just let me invite you to come back tonight. It'll be, again, it will be another message on America. maybe and not be focused on 9/11. But again, I believe we're at a crossroads in our country. And if we don't do something as Americans, if we don't pray and we don't stand up for what we believe, we won't have any semblance of America left.